Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. You all made it out. That's good. I'll be honest with you. I had a little too much to drink in the back room. I'm not talking about natural hooch. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the spiritual hooch. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I was staying at home tonight. You know, I was at home just preparing for tonight, and I wasn't doing anything special. I was just doing what you normally do to prepare, amen? And I said to my wife, how did I say that? I said, I just really could use, I could really use the presence of God on me when I just wanted it, you know, as I get up to minister. And I am telling you right now, he didn't disappoint me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to try to get through this because we do have a message here. Or I think I do anyways. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to do my best to get through it. So I'm believing that you're going to believe with me. Amen. Yes. We're going to get there. We're going to get somewhere. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, this is the thing. You know, we have to desire the Lord in order for him to move on us. God wants to move on us. That's what that's why he paid the price with Jesus, was so we could have access to him. And, you know, my wife didn't you use the scripture, in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. You know, and that is so true. And we have to learn to desire these things and show the world why desiring God is important. Because the filling of the Spirit will bless you. The filling of the Spirit will bring you that joy. And when you're struggling, when you're going through things, it's the presence of God that breaks that off of us. Amen. It's the presence of the Lord that will drive the pain out. It's the presence of the Lord that heals people. It's the presence of the Lord that fills you up. Hallelujah, to overflowing. Amen. And so we need to desire that. But if we're going to get that to people, we gotta learn it ourselves. Amen. And sometimes it's just as simple as saying, Lord, I want that. You know, and then you keep going back. Amen? I go to a buffet. Now, I don't know about you, but I like buffets, some buffets. I like Chinese buffets, okay? And, I know I ain't good for you or whatever, but I like going to Chinese buffets. Amen? But when I go to a Chinese buffet, I don't just go up there, fill the plate halfway up, go back and sit down and be done with it and say, all right, I'm finished. No, what do? I keep going back up, amen? I go up and I sample a whole bunch of things, and when I find something I like, I go up and fill up on more of it, amen? Well, the things of God are very much like that, you know? It's easy to receive at a Chinese buffet because it's right in front of you. But when God is with you, praise the Lord, when you learn how to get into that flow and to tap into those things, I'm going to tell you, you don't really want anything else. You know that if people they're dealing with addiction in their lives, that's how you drive that out, is by filling up with God. You know, it's not, and of course we knew through the Word and through church and through praying and through all these avenues that the Lord has given us to fill up. But as we tap into those things, as we put those things into practice, then all that other stuff that we need to change changes. Amen. And because when you're full of God, there's no room for anything else. When you're full of the Lord, there's no room for pain. There's no room for confusion. There's no room for depression. There's no room for sickness. There's no room for sadness. There's no room for anything other than him. Because God fills every crevice. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, tonight's message is called Come Boldly in Prayer. Amen. Prayer is a very important thing, but prayer is so much more than coming to God and saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. You know, we know the prayer, right? The Lord's Prayer. You know, Jesus gave us that prayer as a model prayer. He gave us that prayer as something for us to shape our prayers with. Amen. But he did not give us that prayer to repeat it over and over. In fact, you know, and I wasn't intending on or ministering on this tonight, but in the Lord's Prayer, he distinctly says, before the Lord's Prayer, he distinctly says, don't pray as the heathen do with vain repetitions. Meaning, don't just repeat the same thing over and over and over again. If you look at every religion, every religion that's dead, every religion that's full of just religiousness, amen? The stuff that people don't like about Christianity is religion, amen? But if you look at every religion, they all have the same thing. They have something that's in common. What do? They have these prayers that they repeat over and over and over that mean nothing to the hearer or mean nothing to the speaker. They're just what they say. You know, there's some denominations that are built on a whole bunch of just random prayers that mean nothing to them. Really, people don't even know what they mean. They just say them. Well, you go see your, you stand before the pastor, the priest or whatever, and they tell you, you say this and you say that, and you just do this over and over and over again, and then you'll be whatever. But it never seems to really work, and that's because the power of God is not found in repetition. It's not found in those things. The power of God is found in His Word. Amen. The power of God is found in what He teaches us. The power of God is found in the way He said the power of God is found. And so somewhere along the line, people always fall back into the same thing. It doesn't matter what religion it is, denomination or move of God, that humans always have this way of bringing it back to their stale tradition and making it about that instead of moving and flowing with God. Now, God says He's God and He doesn't change, and God doesn't change. But the things He does on the earth, do you know, there's different changes. There's changes in season. There's changes in seasons and naturally. There's seasons in our lives. We see changes in growth, you know, when you start off as a baby and grow. So God is a God of change, but He Himself doesn't change. His will, His intent, these things don't change. Amen. But most people don't understand what prayer is. They don't have the vaguest idea of what prayer is. And so what they do is they resign themselves to religious speakings instead of getting in and finding out exactly what it is meant to be. We're going to turn to Psalm 63 in verse 1 and 2. Praise God. And as you're turning there, I want you to understand something about these scriptures, that these are an image of what prayer is. I said they're an image of what prayer is. This shows us what prayer is supposed to be. See, prayer is us fellowshipping with our Heavenly Father. And if you fellowship with somebody, you do more than, like, can you imagine, husbands and wives, can you imagine just constantly going to your spouse and repeating the same thing over and over and over again? How boring would that be? Amen? Well, why do you think people don't pray? Because people don't want to sit there and go to God and say the same thing over and over and over again and never see change. Yeah. Wow. You know that? That's what religious people do, is they go to God with the same things over and over and over again. They never see change because they never learn how to pray right. They never see the change. And then they start believing, well, maybe this isn't God's will. And then they build religions around it. And then year after year after year goes by, and this religion is built, this idea is built. I'm not saying denominations are bad. I'm not saying people in denominations are bad. What I'm saying is religious thinking is bad. Yeah. Jesus corrected religious thinking everywhere He went. One of the biggest opponents to Christ in His ministry were the religious leaders of the day. And I'm going to tell you something, the religious leaders of the day today are no different than they were then. How do I know? Because Jesus could be standing in front of them, they won't accept it. The Holy Spirit could be moving all around them and they won't receive it. Why? Because, well, God doesn't do that thing that way anymore. Well, how do you know? Where do you get that from? Well, that's just what you think. It's not what the Scripture says. It's just what you think, amen? Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Let's look at this here. Psalm 63, verse 1 and 2. My soul thirsts, oh God, You are my God. This is very, I don't want to skip over this part. Oh God, You are my God. You know, when you see that word, oh, in Scripture, that's not just saying, oh. It's not like that. No, He's crying out. He's saying, oh God, You are my God. You see, He's going before God and He's saying, You are. He's recognizing that You are. God is everything to me. He's the one who has given me life. He's the one that's given me breath. He's the one that's created everything. He is so magnificent. Oh God, You are my God. That's what this means. Amen? Amen. This is a good model for us to start with. When you need something from God, and you realize that you're a child of God, what are you going to do? You're going to go before God, and you're going to say, oh God, You are my God. Hallelujah. You are my God. Early I will seek You. Amen? Praise God. My soul thirsts for You. Now, I got some things here that I looked up because I wanted to kind of get some stuff out of it. Amen? That word soul, it means the mind. I love this. Going forward, it says the man himself or herself. The man herself. That doesn't sound right, right? Well, in today's society, it'd probably blend in real good, but that's not what it's talking. You know, the man, mankind, we are all part of mankind. Women, you're a man too, just not a man like I'm a man. Amen? You're a woman man. I'm a man, and you're a woman man if you're a woman. Amen? Praise the Lord. Isn't that interesting? Hallelujah. But that's what it means. The man himself, the seat of, listen to this, the soul is the seat of appetites, emotions, and passion. You know what the seat is? This is a county seat. This is where everything in the county, like all the government in the county, gathers here. That's what that means. That's where the concentration of it is. Amen. It's kind of like Washington D.C. is the seat of our country. Amen. That's where the hub of everything, all the rules, all the regulations, all the laws, they come out of Washington D.C. because it's the seat. Amen. So your soul is the seat of appetites, emotions, and passions. It's where when you desire something so greatly, when you desire someone, when you're in love, praise the Lord, when you look at your baby and you just can't, you don't even know, you can't even express, that's coming from the seat of your emotions. Amen. That's where that's coming from. My soul thirsts for you. That place, see that place, he allowed that place, that hunger for the Lord to come from deep inside him and draw out. Amen. Praise the Lord. The activity of the mind, the will, and the character. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is what the soul, my soul, that place, he's talking about. We have to get to a place where the deep calls into the deep. The deep things of us, the things that make us up, that make us who we are, that where we feel that this is calling out for God and it's hungering for God. This is what's lost in this generation today. This is what's lost in the church today. Because people sit in churches and they get bored because they've never learned how to desire God. They've never learned how to hunger for God. They've never learned to thirst for God. What they do is they go to church and they do the religious duty and they never thirst and hunger for the living God. And because they never thirst and hunger for him, they never see him. And then they say, what's the point anyways? They say, what's the point anyways? It doesn't matter what your parents did. It didn't matter what your grandparents did or your aunts and uncles do. It doesn't matter. It only matters what you do. Amen? Praise the Lord. This is why we talk about the truth and the power of God over and over and over. Every message I preach, I talk about truth and I talk about the power of God. I talk about how good God is. I talk about what he does. And I remind you of the people he's healed and the people he's helped. And I remind him what he's done in your life. And I remind you what he's done in my life. I remind you of these things. This is why we do that in these churches. Amen. Because we want to stir that hunger and desire inside of you to say, wait a minute, there's more. See, that's the thing. With God, there's always more. No matter where you're at, no matter how full you've gotten, there's always more that you can get. And I'm going to tell you that I've gotten this far so far, and it's pretty full. But there's a lot more filling to get. Because God will keep expanding you. He keeps growing you so you can be filled more. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're talking about prayer tonight. We're talking about fellowshipping with God. Praise the Lord. How will you hunger for a God that wants to remove from you? You know, that's the thing, and this is the questions that we pose all the time. How will the world hunger for a God that wants to take away from you? You don't hunger for that kind of stuff. Praise the Lord. Have you ever said, have you ever eaten a bad meal? You ever got food poisoning? Have you ever sat down and you see a steak and you say, man, I sure hope that steak is spoiled. I sure hope that steak is rotten. I don't want to receive that rottenness into my body, make me sick. But that's what people do with God. They think God's going to do bad things. They think God isn't for them completely in the way that they think that God's for them in his own way or whatever, but not the way that they want him to be. And then they don't understand. See, you don't desire, you don't crave these things. Amen. Well, going on, it says, my flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. We have to stir up this hunger. We have to stir up this desire. Christianity is not about feeling. It's not about what you always feel. It's not like, well, if I go up and I have hands laid on me and I feel something, or if I pray enough, I'm going to feel something. It's not what it's about. It's about a relationship with God. What happens in a relationship? My wife and I don't have to work real hard at loving each other. We just love each other. And because we love each other, that love fuels more love for each other. This many years in, how many years is it now? 14 years almost? Just about 14 years in that we've been together and loving each other, praise the Lord. We love each other more today than we did back then. We wouldn't want to go back to where we started, even though it was good and it was fun and all that stuff. But we enjoy today much more. But see, that's the same way it's supposed to be with God, amen? Fellowshipping with God. How will you hunger and thirst for a God that wants to remove from you, or that you feel that way? And see, all of this, I'm building on something here. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Praise God, hallelujah. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary. Man, I mean, I can almost stop and just keep tearing this all apart. So I have looked. I looked this up again in the original language to milk out and see what it was talking about. And to that statement, so I have looked for you, means to see as a seer in the ecstatic state. Now I'm going to explain that a little bit more. Because I broke it down, I used the dictionary help me, and I broke it all down, and I made that statement a little bit better, easier to understand for you. To see as a person who is able, through supernatural insight, to see what the future holds, feeling, expressing, overwhelming happiness or joyful excitement. Praise God. This is true biblical expectation. This means that you are looking at things like a prophet looks into the future and sees, you know, the oracle looks into the future and they see what's going to happen and what's coming. This is how I have looked for you in the sanctuary. That I know that when somebody is a prophet, they understand that God shows them pictures, and they understand that it's vivid, and that they get excited about that. And when God moves on them, they get excited. And that's the same way. If we came to church that way, what would that mean? How would we be? We would receive from God in a total different way, because we would start understanding something. See, this is true biblical expectation, that when we come to church, we know God is there. We know that He's going to meet us. We know He's going to move on us. We know He's going to reveal things to us. Amen? Praise the Lord. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary. Notice it says in the sanctuary. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're in the sanctuary today. To see your power and your glory. See, people want the power and the glory, and they try to do it separate from what God says. We know that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those will be filled. You know, and it's not a matter of, listen, you, as you learn to live a proper Christian life, the right Christian life, it isn't about always feeling like you're high on God, and it's not like you're walking around and you're always just, you know, feeling like you just smoked a joint or drank a couple beers or something like that. That's not what it's like. God isn't trying to make us walk around goofy all the time. We still need to operate in life, amen? But what it means is that God's presence is with you all the time. His favor is with you all the time. And there will be times of extreme joy. But there's times of just, you know, one of the things I love about God is that before God, I would have highs and then I would have lows. And my highs would be exceedingly high and my lows would be exceedingly low. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's the way it was. Up and down and up and down, up and down all the time. You know what they call that? They call it manic depressive. A manic depressive. One day they're happy, or one minute they're happy, the next minute they're so sad and they're so in the pit of despair that you can't even reach them. You know what God does? He takes those highs and those lows and He goes like this. And at times, spending with God, it just becomes an even keel. And the even keel isn't like, it isn't always just like this super, like, you know, excited, like, oh, you know, whatever. But it's always good. Amen? It's always good. It's stable. You know what I mean? It's not, people don't look at you and think, oh, this person is wacky and goofy all the time. No, it's stable. Now, God will, every once in a while, he'll throw in a little woo, you know what I mean? I'm not saying that he won't do that. But if what we are seeking is a just experience instead of God, then we miss the whole point to the whole thing. Amen? We miss what God is doing. Amen? And we miss what he wants to do in us. He wants to make us people that are stable. Stability is such a wonderful thing. Amen? So the scripture says there, early will I seek you. And I want to go back to that for a minute because I want to talk about that, what that means a little bit more. Amen? Praise the Lord. Early isn't right when you need it, is it? Early means if you showed up on time tonight, you showed up on time, but you didn't show up early. Right. Amen? Right. Now, if you were serving or something like that, unless something came up, you should have showed up early. Because serving, you always show up early. In fact, I always try to show up early to everything. Amen? That's my goal. I don't always make it, but that's my goal, is to show up early. My wife makes me late a lot. Amen? But I always try to show up early because I want to be there. Because if I'm on time, I'm late. Amen? In this society, we've kind of lost that importance in a lot of people to show up. You know, if you show up halfway through, you're doing good. But you know, the point is that early here, we have to understand what he's talking about. He says, early I will seek you. Early I will seek you. I'm going to do it first. Amen? Early is before, like in context here, you could say it this way, like first thing in the morning. You're before your day starts. You know, if you spend before your day starts, if you start it with God, you know what happens to you? You start your day on a lot better foot. Amen? In fact, there's days where I have such a good morning, I don't want to have the rest of the day. I just want to skip ahead to the next morning. I ain't lying. I mean, my mornings when I spend them with God are so wonderful, and I have so much refreshing. And so by noon, I'm like done with the day. I'm telling you, I'm like, let's start morning over again. I'll skip to the next day, amen. Because that's when all the work starts. You know what I mean? And you say, well, you start work at noon? No, I work all the time, amen. My work doesn't stop. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, my work doesn't stop. There's highs and lows with it. There's times where I'm real busy and times not so busy, but I'm going to tell you right now, work of a pastor, it doesn't stop, amen? But a lot of times at noon, by noontime is when a lot of things are getting cooking, amen? That's if I have to make phone calls, I make phone calls. If I have to go somewhere, or do this, you know, I'm doing those things by that time, amen? Praise God. But early is an important thing. Early isn't right when you need it. Early is to prepare. Yeah. And so many Christians, they walk through life unprepared for what's coming. Yeah. They walk through life unprepared for the day, for the week, for the trouble. What's one of the biggest problems that I see as a pastor? As unprepared people. Yeah. 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 If you run into a financial crisis that rocks you, it's because you're unprepared. I've been there. I'm not talking about picking on just anybody out there who may be going through a financial crisis or whatever. But listen, that's just about being unprepared, because if we truly follow the word of God, if we truly follow the things of God, there is no crisis. Yeah. See, as a Christian that has crisis is a Christian who doesn't know who they are in Christ. Yeah. I'll say that again. A Christian who has crisis is not a Christian who knows who they are in Christ, because Jesus never had crisis. Right. Jesus had need, and he always met the need. Why? Because he walked with God. Yeah. And see, as he fellowshiped with God early, he sought him. He didn't see, and again, I'm not talking, and Jesus did rise early in the day. I'm not saying that we all have to rise at 4 a.m. and start praying and pray and fast for, you know, 3 hours before we start our day. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is to be prepared. Yeah. You know, we need to be prepared, and to be prepared, we have to go before God, but we have to know how to go before God. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. Too many Christians pray scared prayers. Too many of them are this has happened, so they go to pray. Pastor, and listen, many of you have done this, and I'm not picking on you, but I'm just trying to help us, amen? If you call a pastor and you say, Pastor, I don't know what we're going to do. We got a problem. That's a scared prayer. That's not a prayer of faith. What am I going to do? I'm going to try to lead you back into the place of faith. Why? Because that place won't get you anything. That place won't get you anything from God. I understand when crisis comes. There's times when I call my pastor because I truly don't know what to do. And I'm like, Pastor, what do I do? You know what I mean? I call pastor. I'm like, And my pastor has a way of talking me down, amen, and bringing me into that place. So it's not bad. That's why we need a pastor. Because without a pastor, we're scattered and faint, amen. But so I'm not picking on people, but we have to know the truth, amen. And that's the thing. If there's something that's corrected in church, don't get upset by it. Don't get mad by it. Don't get, you know, just receive the correction and say, you know what, I needed this. I needed this because my life doesn't work. And I need my life to work, so I need to learn how to make my life work. And it didn't work by running around like a chicken with my head cut off all the time. Amen. It doesn't. What is it? We're told it's a prayer of faith that heals them, that heals people. It's not a prayer. It's not a scared prayer. Oh my God, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Too many Christians are praying these. Amen. This is a little different tonight, and there's a lot of stuff in this. There's a lot of meat in this, I understand. But this will help you. It will help you, it will help you, it will help you. Amen? Praise God. We know in Hebrews 11:6, you all know that scripture, you should. We are told, without faith it's impossible to please God, right? When people come to God sporadically or just when they need something, they cannot come in faith. If you don't make fellowshipping with God, prayer, something that is part of your life. I am talking to you teenagers. I am talking to you 20-year-olds. I am talking to you 30-year-olds. I am talking to you 40-year-olds. I am talking to you 50-year-olds. And I can keep going. Praise the Lord. I am talking to everybody. If you don't spend time in fellowship and prayer with God, you are not going to have what you need. And prayer, you have to know how to do it. It's not just going to God saying, Lord, this is what I need today. This is what I need today. Fix this, fix this, fix. That's not prayer. Prayer is fellowship. Early, I will seek you. See, you don't desire somebody. You don't desire somebody when you just go ask him for something. Amen? You know, when I go to Home Depot and I got to get something, I know that store better than most of the employees do. So when I go to Home Depot, I want to be left alone until I need something. And then I go looking for somebody, hardly ever finding them, mind you. But when I do finally find somebody and they help me with it, I don't try to take them home with me. I don't take that person and say, all right, you know what? You would be really useful to me in the ministry. So I'm gonna bring you home. And I got all these things I got to do at home. And you helped me so good here that I'm going to, you don't do that, do you? When you just go to somebody because you need them for a minute, you don't desire them. You're just going to them to get what you need, and then you go on. And so many people live this way with God. They're like the only time they go to God, the only time they go to church is when they need something from God. Oh, my life is falling apart. Better get in church. Wow. Now listen, if your life is falling apart and you've been out of church, yes, go to church. But don't just go for that reason. Stay, get connected, and be hooked up, and move into what God has for you. And don't be a fool and go back to your vomit of not going to church and saying, well, my problem is fixed now. I've seen this happen. Yeah. As a pastor, I've seen people come in, their lives are falling apart. As I serve my pastor in his church, I've seen people come in, their lives are falling apart. They get fixed and they get gone. Yeah. They don't get back to God. I've seen God get people out of financial troubles and have them turn around and still not tithe or give or anything else. And they just go on living their life for themselves. I've seen people come in, get healed of diseases, turn around and leave because they got what they wanted. I've seen people come in with their marriages broken, falling apart at the point of divorce. God restores them. He's setting them on a new course, and they turn around and leave once they've gotten fixed. This, sadly, is how many people, this is what people's fellowship is with God. They don't realize, see, Christianity is not, it is a lifestyle, true Christianity. I'm going to tell you this right now. A lot of people will not like our churches, the family churches. That doesn't change the fact that it's a movement that's happening that is going to change the face of this country and this world. I'm telling you right now. But what's happening here is not happening in a lot of other churches. And it's because what's happening here is different. And it's not because we got it all figured out because we're so, but it's because we desire God. We desire the truth. And we desire the truth above all. And the other thing that we do is we teach people the truth. And when we teach people the truth, what they find out is Christianity isn't just something I do on Sundays. It's something that I live. Because if you don't live it, you're not a true Christian. If you're not living Christianity, I could share it with you. But I don't necessarily think that now is the time. Just about a week ago, a week and a half ago, I had a dream. It was the most real dream that I ever had. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, do you want me to share it now? Praise God. Hallelujah. I almost, praise God, I'm just going to follow the Spirit. I believe that right now is the time, at least for here. Do you mind if I share something with you? I'm going to tell you something, though. This is sobering. And I was deeply troubled. I was deeply troubled with this. Praise God, hallelujah. I'm going to read it to you because what happened was sometime in the night, I was sleeping, and I had a dream that was so real, I felt like I was there. It wasn't a dream that, like, just a dream, like, oh, something I was just experiencing. It was a dream that I was there experiencing, okay? And when I woke up, it was about 2 a.m., and I wrote down what I remembered from the dream. I wrote that down. And so I'm going to share it with you. And I'm going to share what I wrote down, and as I share it, I'm also going to, there'll be points where I explain it, amen? So this was a dream. I was entering with someone, I didn't know who they were, to go down into the region of the damned, that's into hell, which is in the earth, because there was things there that I had to see. I got on board a freight elevator, and I went down, I started going down. As I descended, there was tier after tier of dark, stony hallways filled with the dead. These are people that are not going to heaven. Tier after tier. Of course, this is all scriptural. We know this in scripture. Tier after tier, there was these. As we passed each one, fear gripped me. And I remember feeling as though these seemed to go on forever as I was consumed with hopelessness. We finally reached a floor, and I was standing before a being that to me represented judgment. I don't know how I knew. I just knew it in my spirit. I knew that this being standing before me was judgment, okay? The person I was with was accepted and stepped to the side. And I fell to my knees with a knowing that I wasn't. Despair and hopelessness consumed me as a realization set in that I had missed it and that I would spend eternity in hell. I said, Lord, but I accepted you. He said, you said it, but you never repented. And for those of you who don't understand what I'm talking about here, you can mentally assent to something. You can say, yes, this is truth, but not receive it into your spirit. You can say Jesus is Lord, but, and we're going to see this here in Scripture in a minute, you can say Jesus is Lord, but believing it is a whole nother thing. The Bible says that we must repent. Repent means to turn and change. If somebody comes in and says, yes, I've received Jesus, and there's never any change, they haven't received Jesus. Because Jesus will always drive people to change. Amen? That doesn't mean that you will overnight, that you'll just get better. But it means there will be change in you. There will be desire to serve God, desire to do things right. Amen? There will be change. So this is what happened. I said, Lord, but I accepted you. He said, you said it, but you never repented. You never changed. Suddenly I woke up, and this is really what happened. I woke up with, it was like, there was like nails. It felt like nails being dragged through my back. And I said repeatedly to the Lord, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? I was saying this as my wife didn't hear me. She was still sleeping, but I was repeating this over and over. And then this came to my spirit, and this is what I am to tell people. This is what I believe I'm to tell people. Many of my people think they are okay, but they are not. Behold, I am coming soon, and when I do, it is too late. Prepare yourself now while you still have time. Now, a lot of people will say, that doesn't sound like Jesus of the Bible. Matthew 7:21-23 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Matthew 25:1-13, these are the scriptures that God gave me. He answered this. This is how he backed it up. Because, see, if God gives you a vision or a dream or anything like that, he'll always back it up with scripture. Matthew 25:1-13 says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. What did they do? They prepared. Yeah. Amen. But while the bridegroom delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. And the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. He's talking about the end times and being ready. He gave me Matthew 13:47-50, which says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind. Isn't that like what happens in the body of Christ? They gather a little bit here, a little bit there of every kind of people. Which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Praise the Lord. You have to understand that what God is doing is he's preparing his people to be able to receive him, to be able to be ready for his second coming. That's what he's doing through our churches. And playing church, you know, there's some people that say, well, I prefer the church I grew up in or whatever. But they didn't teach you the word. If they didn't teach the word, if they don't teach change, if they don't teach conviction, if they don't teach the things that Jesus himself taught, then all it's doing is sending people to hell. Because there's going to be a lot of people. And this is what I realized in the dream. Now, I myself was not going to hell. But what the Lord allowed me to feel like is the hopelessness of one. And I'm going to tell you something. When I dropped to my knees in that place, realizing that I had missed it and that I would spend eternity in hell, I cannot explain the hopelessness that I felt at that time. It is important that we prepare. And in preparation, what we have to do is we have to learn about God. We have to learn about how God moves and how God works, what God wants us to do. And this is why we tell people, stop seeking your own plans, because all they're doing is taking people to hell. I'm going to tell you right now, the Bible says that he washes away every tear. Some of those tears that he washes away are tears that we will shed because of people we were supposed to reach, even those that we love so dearly. But they didn't make it to heaven because we didn't sell out for Christ. See, this is the thing. People on this earth, they think all this stuff is so important today. They think everything they're doing is so important. But when you stand before Jesus, it will not matter how much money you made. It won't matter how good you were at soccer or baseball or anything else. It will not matter how smart you were. It won't matter how many times you went to church. The only thing that's going to matter is what you did with what God gave you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We're talking about seeking God. We're talking about prayer. Prayer is about seeking God. Prayer is about fellowshipping with God. Prayer is spending time with God, whether it's in praise, whether it's in worship, whether it's doing any number of things that the Bible tells us it's doing. But it's about getting closer to God and letting God reveal to us what he wants to do in us. We want to let God reveal what he wants to do in us. Why do you think we run so hard and do so much so after the plan of God and why we preach so strong? It's not because we hate people, because we love people. Yeah. Listen, when we preach things, I know sometimes when I say things that are hard, when I preach against things of this world, when I preach against homosexuality, it's because the Bible says that homosexuals can't enter heaven. The Bible says that. Jesus said that himself. The Bible tells us that. And so we got to stop that. We don't accept things. When we talk about people who live in sin, people who are out there living in the bars right now, there's people that are living in bars that if they don't change, they're going to hell. They're going to spend eternity in being lost, separated from God. This is what's at stake. And people don't like to hear that. And so some people filter out. Some people filter in. But the ones that stay are the ones who are connected and want. You know, see, God does so many wonderful things for us. He blesses us. He wants to take us higher. He wants to move us into a place where we have no debt in our life and we have abundance. He wants to take you to a place where you're healthy and happy and you enjoy life and you have a spouse that you love and they love you and you have families that love and you spend time with them and you have all. He wants us to have all these, provided all this. God made that. He is the inventor of family. He is the inventor of fun. He is the inventor of joy. In the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. So if you've only experienced God, or if you've only experienced joy up to here, in the presence of God is the fullness. So let's move to that presence. See, you think your presence, if you think your presence is in the things, the activities you do, or whatever it is, you're wrong. Because those things are all fleeting. You know, you talk to somebody, and there's examples all through history of people who were talented in this or that, and then something tragic happened, and then they can't do that anymore. And then what becomes important to them? Praise God. I was a gymnast when I was in high school. I know you might not believe that by looking at me, but I was. I could flippity-flop and back and forth and do all kinds of stuff. I could do handstands and dismounts and mounts and flips on the bars, and I could swing on the bars and look like a real trained monkey, praise the Lord. I could do all kinds of stuff. But I'm going to tell you, today I can't do any of it. And you know something? Although it was fun, and although I enjoyed those times, they mean nothing to me now. I don't look at that time and I think, well, that's the most important part of my life. And yet, parents all the time are pushing their kids to things that they will enjoy for a few years. Praise God. They'll enjoy for a few years and they'll be gone. And they may still, you know, I'm not talking about it's wrong to be in sports. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, where's our focus, though? It's not wrong. God doesn't mind if you have money. Where's your focus, though? He does mind you being covetous. He doesn't want you having to have it. If you love your money so much that you can't give it to an offering because, well, God forbid, you have to do that. Well, praise the Lord, see, you haven't got it yet. Right. If you love your time so much that it always takes you away from the things of God. Yeah. I mean, I have to remind myself all the time. You know, it's time to spend time with God. Yeah. Throughout my day, sometimes it's like, you know what? I'm going to stop and just spend some time with God. And see, I'm not just talking about Sundays or Saturdays or Fridays or anything else. I'm talking about living a life as a Christian should live their life. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. There's a lot of things in this, amen? And I know I'm not getting where I need to go or where I wanted to go. I'm getting where I need to go because we're believing God for teaching us the right things, amen? Praise the Lord. So you understand that God is taking us somewhere. He wants desperately God's desire, his whole, like the whole reason he orchestrated things the way he did, the reason he sacrificed his son was so we could enter into that place with God again, so we could come to God and say, you know what? But Christians are so they could care less sometimes. They're so busy in their thoughts and their minds that they just reject it. They just and we miss the joy that he really provided for us. We miss the happiness, the things that he really provided for us. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. When people come to God sporadically or when they need something, they cannot come in faith. Without faith, boldness or surety will not happen. You can't be bold. You can't be bold in your faith if you don't have faith. Amen. Surety, you can't be sure of God without faith. What is faith? Believing God will do what he said he did, or said he would do, or said he has already done. Amen? When you believe God for healing, do you really believe it, or do you just see it? Do you just see it in the Word, or do you believe it? A person who spends time with God, spends time in the Word, will be bold because they will know what is theirs. Now, I know you're sitting there thinking, what do you mean by bold? Well, the Bible tells us to be bold. We're going to see this some more, but the Bible tells us to be bold. We need to be bold about our faith. Being bold about our faith is not just standing out there with a megaphone shouting to... No, being bold about our faith is saying, you know what? This is who I am. This is what I've been made to be. This is how I'm changed. This is how I'm going to live. When the devil comes, you need to be bold. When the devil comes knocking, all kinds of things. He makes you sick. He brings trial and tribulation against you. The world's got people rising up against you. Boldness is the only thing that's going to save you. Boldness and faith. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. I wrote this down because I thought this was interesting because I saw a little snippet. But Bill Gates' daughter goes before her father boldly because she is acquainted with him. She knows what's hers. She's traveling all over the world doing all kinds of things. She's in the news, you know, doing all kinds of things. But she isn't earning it. But was she's bold because she knows who she is. Amen? I had this example. Oh, first I want to ask you, though, are you acquainted with your Heavenly Father? Do you know what He has done? Do you know what He's made you to be? Praise God. I knew this officer once, and this officer had a daughter. And there's this thing that's kind of well known that a lot of times if you're closely related to an officer, it can help you at times of getting pulled over. Amen? So it's a benefit that people like that like to have. Well, I knew this other officer. I knew these two officers. One had a daughter. The two didn't work together, but they knew of each other. And the one officer pulls a car over one day. And it's the daughter of this other officer. And the officer walks up to the car and says, you know, license and registration. And this daughter says, I want to be careful because I do not want to use names. But this daughter says, oh, it's okay, my father's so-and-so, officer so-and-so. And the other officer that's there says, okay, and starts to go back to his car go back to the car to check on it, because that's usually what they do is check on it. You can't just say, well, my dad is officer so-and-so. They're going to check, amen? Yeah. And this daughter just takes off. She just leaves. Now, if a cop pulled you over and the cop went back to his car, would you just take off? No, because what's going to happen. But see, this daughter was bold because she knew who her daddy was. She understood who her dad was. And because she understood who her dad was, she knew daddy was going to get her out. And eventually, I think the story ended up being that there ended up being a feud between the officers. But the daughter did eventually get out of trouble because of who. I'm not saying it's good, but she knew who her daddy was. And see, so Christians are the same way. Do you know who your daddy is? Do you know who your Heavenly Father is? Are you well acquainted with them? See, when we fellowship with God, when we pray, when we spend time just before the Lord thanking Him. You know, sometimes throughout my day, I'm praying. I'm just thinking on the Lord. You say, but you're not saying anything. That's not prayer. Yes, that's real prayer. Sometimes I'm just, thank you, Lord, for that. I'm so thankful for that. Or sometimes one of you will come across my mind and I'll just be like, Lord, I thank you for them. Praise the Lord. I thank you for them. And I pray for this or that. If something is there, you know, or whatever. Spending time with God. But see, as I spend that time with my Heavenly Father, I know who He is and it's clear to me. It's not hard to go before Him and ask Him for something because I know what He wants from me. I spend time in His Word, fellowshipping with God. You could argue that it's a form of prayer because I'm fellowshipping with God. This is a living Word. This is His Word. What do you do when you talk to someone, when you fellowship with someone? What do? You speak, right? You speak what? Words. What did He do? He spoke a word. When I listen to the Word, I'm fellowshipping with God. When I'm getting in the Word, I'm spending that time with God. Now, we have to balance it out with all kinds of things, you understand? But see, as I do that, my faith builds, and then I get bolder because I know who my Father is. And God will deal with me on things. And then all of a sudden, I'll start hearing things. Oh, praise the Lord, I hear things. I hear things. That pastor hears things. It's crazy. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're getting close to closing here. Amen. Turn with me to James 5:16. Praise God, hallelujah. Now I know the question could be like, man, how could we, how can you start off like that? But see, sometimes the anointing, and there's some other things I'm going to do, but sometimes the anointing is for a special purpose. It's always for a special purpose, I should say. But sometimes the anointing is to get some things across, amen, get things out. And we never be sad for that. You didn't do bad by coming tonight, amen? Because what you're receiving will last you for the rest of your life if you let it. Praise God. James 5:16, and we're going to read through verse 18. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. Confess your trespasses to one another. I love this. There's no secrets in the body of Christ. There's no secrets of God. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're a person who is prone to keeping secrets, you've got issues. And you better get that straight. Because God says, the Bible says, that all things that are done in darkness will come to light. That doesn't mean that if you let them come to light, that means you're even more foolish, because that's when the trouble happens. Amen? Yeah, and people all the time. I'm going to tell you all the time. I dealt with this week. Praise God. Hallelujah. How do I say this? I was just visiting. I'll just say I was visiting somebody who needed something from God. Somebody I had prayed for before. And I was kind of wondering, as I was going to visit them, I was kind of wondering about why they haven't received yet. Because I prayed in faith. You know what? Sometimes you can pray for people and then things don't seem to happen and you wonder. But see, when you pray for people, you're always praying with the person's will. And what I realized in this conversation, within 5 minutes of talking to this person that day, I learned new things that I didn't know before, and I knew why the prayers weren't answered. It was because they hindered them by what they were doing. Praise God. If you operate outside the will of God, trying to do whatever, you are going to find a time where you crash and burn. And praying doesn't necessarily get you out of that. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, it's free, no charge. Confess your trespasses to one another. And pray for one another that you may be healed. Amen? That you may be healed. God wants us healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now look at this, because it goes on, and then it gives us an example. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for three years and 6 months. And verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now I want to share something with you. This is talking about, you know, notice what it says there. It says that he prayed earnestly, okay? That's important. Now we're going to go back in the Old Testament, it's 1 Kings 17:1, and this is where this actually event actually happened in Scripture. So he's quoting it in James, but this is where it actually happened. Look at this. It says, and Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Hallelujah. There's some things we have to understand here. When we pick it up here, we see Elijah just making that proclamation. He didn't pray. You know, the Bible said he prayed earnestly, right? Yeah. That's important to understand. We are told he prayed earnestly, but all we see here is a statement. See, the assurance, the proclamation, was the result of repetition of being with the Lord. In other words, Elijah spent time earnestly praying with God. He spent time before the Lord. He always sought the Lord. He was before the Lord day and night. Yeah. And he knew what to say when it was time to say it. He knew what to do when it was time to do it. And he said, it ain't going to rain. And how did he know that it ain't going to rain? He didn't beg God. He didn't have to go to God. Oh God, please stop the rain so they'd show these people. No, he spent time, found out what God's will is, and then when he went to pray, that's what it's talking about. See, he spent time with God. He prayed earnestly. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Prayer means seeking and asking. Seeking. That's what prayer is. We think so many times that prayer is just asking God for something specific, and that is such a generic, bad understanding of what prayer is. That's so infantile, it's not even funny. And that is how most Christians pray. Amen? It's the assurance. The proclamation was the result of repetition of being before the Lord. We know this, that Elijah was somebody who walked with the Lord. Amen? Elijah didn't die. He was a man that didn't die. He was taken away. He never saw death. God sent his chariot down to pick him up. His body never saw death. Praise the Lord. Elijah was sure of his answer because of the place which he stood. A Christian, you can be sure of your answer because of where you stand. Or you won't be sure because of where you don't stand. Now listen, you could say, well, I'm new to this. We have people in here that haven't been doing. Hey, even if this church is all you've experienced of church, we've only been here 4 years. So you can be new to this. You say, well, I'm not there. I don't have that faith. You don't need to. Because God gives us a measure of faith. It starts right now when you believe. You just start where you're at and you go with God and you say, Lord, I'm just going with you. I'm going to follow you. You just decide to do it. You remember that when I was talking about if you, what was the saying I said? I was talking about taking out a loan. Remember when I was when we were doing the God will let you take out a loan on your faith. In other words, because of what you will do, he will let you come before him and say, you know what? I've been off, God. I've been off for so many years. Amen. I didn't serve God for the first two-thirds of my life. I wasn't really serving God. The last third of my life, I've been serving God. Amen. But God had blessed me back then for things I was going to do in the future. God will let you take a loan if you'll be good to the loan. How do you know you'll be good to the loan? You'll pay it back. If you're not a person who pays back the loan, then you're not good on a loan. God ain't gonna bless you. You know what I'm saying? You wanna be somebody who can be trusted. And you do that by deciding this is where I'm going, this is the line I'm crossing, and I ain't going back over it. This is how sin stops, by the way. If you're dealing with sin in your life, you draw the line and you say, I'm stepping over, I ain't going back. Now, sometimes you may, you know, as you're going along, you may slip a little bit, but that's all right. You just keep, because I'm not going back there. I'm not going back here. Anybody who goes back to sin goes back by choice. Yeah. I'm going to tell you this again. Anybody who goes back, God will give you the freedom. He'll give you every tool you need to break any addiction, to get through any trial, to get over any mountain. I'm going to tell you right now, God will do it. If you go back, it is your own fault. It is not God's fault. It is not because the church didn't pray for you. It isn't because you, it's because you chose to go backwards. Amen? Praise the Lord. I said this and I'll say it before. If you're less hungry today than you were a year ago, something's off. And it's not on God's end, it's on yours. Right. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. I think we're getting real close, right? Praise the Lord. Elijah was sure of his answer because of the place in which he stood. He said in that prayer, when it was back in James, let me go back there and reread that to you. Amen? Where was that? James 5:16? Yeah. James 5:17, praise the Lord. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He was a man with a nature like ours. He was a man with a nature like ours. Elijah, because of his faithfulness, was taken to heaven, never saw death. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Elijah was the foremost prophet of the land. He followed God. God did amazing miracles through him. When he prayed, the earth stopped giving rain for 3.5 years. When was the last time you prayed for something to stop for 3.5 years? And it did. And then again that it started and it did. There's a lot of amazing things Elijah did. And he was a man with a nature like ours. What is this saying to us? He's just like you and me. He's a jack wagon too. He could screw it up too. He could miss God too. Sometimes he wasn't going to do it perfect. But what did he do? He stayed in that place. He stayed in that place before God. He kept going back. He said, you know what? I screwed up. I don't care. I'm going back to God. I'm getting back on. I'm going back. You know why? You know what the difference between me and somebody who never breaks addiction or never breaks out of that place that they were in? I kept going. I kept getting up. I just decided to do it again because I knew back there was worse. If you know back there was worse, just keep going. Just keep pushing through because you're going to get there. Just like I got there. Just like others got there. Because that's what God does is he makes people who can get there because he takes people with a nature like ours who aren't usable and he says, I'm going to use you now. This man with a nature like ours, he said, say like you and me. Like you and me. Right? With a nature like ours. He was like you and me. What did he do? He prayed earnestly. He prayed earnestly. He was before God earnestly. Day and night, day and night. He was before God. That doesn't mean he was always praying about the rain. That's not what it was saying. It was saying he prayed earnestly. He spent time before the Lord. He knew God. God knew him. He knew what would happen. And then, this is what people what Christians do that don't know is they get to a place where they get in a bind and then they pray for relief of the bind, not realizing that if they had spent the time ahead of time, by the time the bind came, they would already know what to do.
That's right.
Elijah knew what to do. How many here want to know what to do? Do you think something's coming to try to rob your world? Do you think something's trying to come to steal, kill, steal, and destroy? Well, we know it is because Jesus said it was. I said, Jesus said it was. And if Jesus said it was, what does that mean? It's going to come. It's going to happen. Is there anyone who wants to avoid that? Is there anyone who would rather not face that? Or is there anyone who would like to know what to do when the time is there? You ever been in a situation where you didn't know what to do? Amen. Praise the Lord. We ain't got to live that way, Christians. If we live that way, it's not on God's end. It's on our end. I said, if we live that way, it's not on God's end, it's on our end. We decide. We decide how we're going to live. We decide what kind of life we're going to have. We decide what kind of mountain we're going to climb. We decide what hills we're getting over. We decide what we're going to get beyond. We decide how we're going to do it. Amen? We decide, we decide, we decide. Because Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's so much I want to get into, and I can't do it for the sake of time. But just take this down if you're taking notes. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16 talks about coming boldly before the throne. To come boldly, one must know that it is their place. You aren't going to go bold if you don't know. I remember when I was going into high school, all the way back then. Praise the Lord. I remember going to high school. I was in eighth grade, or I was going to ninth grade. Eighth grade, I had it figured out. I was going in ninth grade, new building, new school, big building in Jamestown, New York. Praise the Lord. And I was scared. What am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. I've heard all these stories. I had a brother who was in high school before me. He made sure I heard all the stories. Yeah. Hallelujah. I knew sure as anything I was getting a swirly. If you don't know what a swirly is, that's when they trap you in the bathroom and they dunk your head in the toilet and flush it and give you a swirly. Amen? Yeah, I knew that was coming. Amen? Because I heard about it. I knew that I was going to get beat up. I knew all these things. I walked into high school. I was timid and I was scared and I didn't know what I was going to do. Praise God. But you know something? 4 years later, I almost graduated. But when I walked out of that high school, I own that place. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Don't you own it? You've done it? Yeah. You done? I remember this one girl. I remember this one time when we were freshmen. A friend of mine, his older sister's like, we got to show these freshmen how to walk the hall. Praise the Lord. Yeah, they'd be real cool, you know, like it's stupid now, but she was being real cool. You know, we got to show these freshmen how to walk the hall. Well, by the time I was at the end of high school, I knew how to walk the hall. Praise God. I just did it. You know what I'm saying? See, when you go in, you're scared, but when you come out, because you've been there. You spent time there. You understand that. Maybe these things weren't as scary as I thought they were. Amen? And see, that's the same thing when we spend time with God. We get that boldness that He has. That boldness to say, wait a minute. The devil can't rob me from this. See, if you're troubled by something, it's because you don't understand quite yet. And that's okay, because I still get troubled by things too. But what my point is that we have to be progressing to a place where we're not troubled by everything. Where, you know, when something comes up, it's like, all right, well, that's what's happening. But that's not what my answer is. My answer is right here. Amen? Praise the Lord. You won't have much boldness if you never spend time with Him. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Pray earnestly. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Spend your life praying without ceasing. That's not hard. It's not, that does not mean you don't get your mat out and then face the east and start bowing to the east. You know, like some of those, you know, whatever do. I think Muslims do that or whatever. They sit there, you know, and they got to pray three times a day and they're just chanting this thing over and over. Blah, 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 blah. No, you spend time talking to God. You spend time with God. You're going throughout your day, you recognize something good. You say, you know what, thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for letting me see that. When was the last time you did that? When was the last time all of a sudden you were just sitting there and maybe you just felt good for a second? You're like, you know what? Thank you, Lord, for letting me feel that. Yeah. Praise God. Somebody does something good for you. Will you praise the Lord for it? Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I just love it. There's things that happen. I went out to lunch with my pastor one day. I intended on paying. I went out to lunch with my pastor. Somebody else came up to us and said, you know, they recognized us. And they came up to us and said, hey, you know, it was good to see you, la, la, la. And they said, well, I ain't going to take up too much of your time, but here, let me buy your lunch. Threw down $40. The lunch didn't cost $40. They threw down $40, walked away. I said, but the lunch didn't cost $40. They bought lunch, they bought coffee too. And then I said, what do I do with this $13? My pastor says, I tried to give it to him. He said, put it in the Cory Fund. Hallelujah. Yeah. So we got lunch, we got coffee, and we got a little extra going to the Cory Fund. Praise the Lord. There's people in this church who never given in the Cory Fund. Oh, glory. Oh, you said that? Yeah, that's the truth. Yeah, amen. Why? Because you don't care about those people in Corey. That's why you didn't. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the truth. If you cared, you'd pray. You ever heard that phrase, put your money where your mouth is? Amen. Put your money where your mouth is. You say anything you want. Amen. I got to tell you what Dr. Summerall said. Praise God, because I ain't got that anointing yet, but maybe someday I will. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's some good stuff. If you want to know, ask me later. I might, may or may not tell you. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You don't have much boldness. See, there's a lot more boldness on me when I'm in the pulpit than Hallelujah. I want to share this one last thing with you. All right, I think this is the last thing. But bears coming out of hibernation. When I went on a bear hunt with, I use these illustrations to help us remember and see. Amen. When I went on a bear hunt with some other ministers. Never been on a hunt. I never hunted anything in my life. I think I shot a crow once, and that was the closest I got to hunting. Amen. And that ain't really hunting because I was just walking down the field with a shotgun and a bam, you know. Praise the Lord. In fact, I remember one time I first got a shotgun. First time I went up to my parents' house. I'm walking up back. I was all by myself. And I got this shotgun. You know, it's all loaded. I can't remember how many shells it held, but it was like, what, 7 or 8 or something like that. And I was out. I was hunting rabbits. You know what I mean? I was just up there. I mean, I'm like in my 20s. I'm like 24, but I never had a gun before. You know, guns are fun. Praise the Lord. So I'm up hunting rabbits, and I'm walking around up there in the woods, and I didn't see any. And I'm coming back. It's about time I want to start heading back, you know, because I was getting bored real quick too. You know, I was only out there for maybe 5-10 minutes, and so I just decided that there was, I don't know if it was like a branch or something. I was just like, I'm gonna shoot at that, you know. So I just take my shotgun, I'm like, boom, boom, and I just unload on this thing, right? I'm all by myself. It didn't matter. What I didn't know is that my brother and his kid had come down to visit as well. I wasn't shooting in a dangerous spot, you know. I knew enough not to do that. But as I'm walking out of the woods, got the gun slung over my back, and I'm, oh, see them. And my nephew Dalton. He runs up to me. He's like, Uncle Jeff, what were you shooting at? Like, I don't know. I saw an animal run into the weeds there. But at any rate, I just told you that because it was funny. But I was when we were at the bear hunt. So I had never hunted. I was at the, except for that time I was hunting rabbits, or the time I shot the crow. Amen. So I'd never hunted. I'm on this bear hunt, and one of the things they do with bears is they bait them. Although the place we went, we found out later they didn't really bait them. We just paid them a lot of money to sit there in the rain and wet for hours and hours and hours and never have bears come. But in a legit outfit, we only did that twice, amen, 2 different times. But in a legit outfit, what they do is they start baiting the bears. And what they mean is because bears have this thing that they know where the food is. And when they know that the food's not there, they don't go there, amen? So once they find the food, and this is the whole thing with baiting them. I know it's not very fair and all that stuff, but it didn't matter. Shoot one anyways. But what they do is they start baiting these things the year before. And so when these bears go to sleep, they go, these guys, as soon as they can get out there again, they go out there and they start baiting them again in the spring. Because as soon as these bears wake up, what do? They go back to where they knew the food was. Amen. But see, it's the same thing with us. God's given us all the bait. He's given us all the things. But if we don't go there, we'll never know where it is. If we don't spend time with the Lord, we'll never know how to access. We won't know what his voice sounds like. We won't know the smell of the bait. We won't know what we need. Amen? And so that's why I use that illustration, because we have to understand, we have to spend that time knowing. It's persistence and it's continual. A diligent person. The Bible talks about diligence and continually seeking the Lord. Praying earnestly and pray without ceasing. All these things just mean seeking God. It's just all it's about is just seeking God. It's not painful. The devil will try to convince you praying is painful. Praying can be 2 minutes long. Praying can be, sometimes my wife and I will just be, we'll be, especially when we're getting ready for church, just praising the Lord, singing little songs to God or whatever. You know, praise you, Lord, just stuff like that. That's praying. You know what I mean? So we spend time in the Word. We spend time with God. We don't neglect these things. And then we'll find the God that we need. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with this. And I know I've gone over, but praise the Lord. I want to get some things out to you today. Psalm 27:8. The Lord said in Psalm 27:8, David said, I think, or whatever. inspired by the Holy Ghost. When you said, "Seek my face," my heart said to you, "Your face, Lord, I will seek." We are never told to seek God's hand. We are told to seek his face. Seeking God's face means that we know his presence. We learn who our Father is. We learn what he wants to do. How do we start that? We start that here and here. Because as we come and we hear the word preached, as we listen to the word ourselves, as we read the word ourselves, what God starts doing is all of a sudden, so there'll be a little spark inside you that you won't recognize. You're like, "Ooh, what's that?" That's the Lord. And then you get back into it again, and then there's a spark and another spark. And then all of a sudden, what you start realizing, it wasn't because God wasn't talking. It's because you didn't know how to listen. When you seek his face, God shows you. You just say, I just go before the Lord and say, "Lord, I just want more of you. Help me to pastor better. Help me to do whatever I do better. Help me to run my business better. Help me to work at my job better. Help me to love my spouse more. Help me to," praise God, you just look for opportunities, and God will show you things. He will teach you things. He will say, "Do this or do that." And when I say he'll say it, it's very rarely audible. But you will know. You'll have a knowing that nobody else can describe to you. Or you can't describe to anyone else. It's a knowing that will be on the inside. This is for all people. This isn't just for pastors. This is for all Christians. Amen? We are all called to be equipped for the work of the ministry. Amen? Well, God is doing great things. And I'm going to tell you, one of the reasons that I knew I had to preach this is because this is what God is desiring. God wants us to move us into things this year. I've spoken over some of you that there's things that the Lord will show you, but I'm going to tell you right now, he'll only hear it if you allow God that time and space in your life to be able to teach you how he wants to speak to you. One time a minister said in a service, and this is one of the things that stuck with me over the years, she said, "Learn how God speaks to you." I can't tell you how God's going to speak to you because he'll speak to all of us differently. I can tell you this, it'll always line up with the word if it's God. Always line up with the word. And if you don't know, you can always ask. There's nothing wrong with that. But God, when God speaks, it'll always line up with the word. I talked to my pastor about this vision or this dream I had. I talked with him just this morning, this afternoon, I mean. I talked with him about it, praise the Lord. I happened to get a chance to be with him. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you get time with your pastor, I'm going to help you with something. You mind if I help you with something? If you get time with your pastor, don't spend that time. First of all, don't spend that time talking, like just telling your pastor everything, because that's showing that you don't want to receive anything. And secondly, come with questions. When you get time with your pastor, you don't want to just be like, oh this and that and da 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 da. If you do most of the talking, there's something wrong there. And why do I say this? It's not hero worship, not man worship. It's none of that. But there's an anointing on your pastor's life to help you with things. And yes, I'm talking about me. But there's an anointing there to help you. And if you receive from that, but, you know, there's people, at least one from another church, praise God, hallelujah. If you get that opportunity, I've learned when I talk with my pastor, I spend time with my pastor, I get some of the, we call it cookie jar stuff. Oh, it's so good. I get things because I don't really give a rip about who he wants to see win the Super Bowl. I mean, I asked him only because it was in some other complete context. But, I mean, it took all of 2 seconds. I don't care about that stuff. I don't care, you know what I mean? I don't care I don't care. I don't want to talk about that stuff. I want to know things that I didn't know before. Amen? Praise the Lord. But where was I going with that? Do you know? Yeah, well, I don't know how I got on that specifically, but, well, praise God. God's showing us some things. Okay, I think where I was going. That I've spoken things over many of you that you have to seek out. All of our walks are individual. Oh, I know what I said. Learn how to hear his voice. Learn how God speaks to you. Learn how God speaks to you. One time I was getting out of the shower. It was just before. God talks to me a lot at the shower. I don't know why. The bathroom, praise the Lord. Glory to God for it. But one time I was getting out of the shower. I was getting ready for a Wednesday night service in Jamestown. This was years ago, way before I pastored. And this was after that. I had heard that, some time after I had heard that. And I heard very clearly in my spirit. When I say hear clearly, it's like I heard words on the inside. Like I heard this phrase. And what I heard was, is, you know my voice. I know his voice. You know, the Bible says to test the spirits. We are to test the spirits. Because sometimes people will say, well, the Lord told me this. It's like, no, that's not scriptural. Well, it sounded like God. The Bible says test the spirits. It says test them. It means when you hear something spiritually, you better test it. Put it up against the word and see if it's true. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I've heard all kinds of crazy things that the Lord told him. And it's so funny because God gave us a whole book of stuff that he told us he wouldn't, you know, what he meant, you know, whatever. But God said, so we have to learn how God speaks to us. When he said that, though, he said it in a way, when I heard that in my spirit, he said it in a way that I've heard his voice before. And so when he said that, I connected. I was like, oh, that is it. Because God will, he will find a way that is unique to you to get things over to you. God individualizes our relationship because our relationship is between us and him. And so just because I hear a certain way, or Pastor Tim hears a certain way, or Pastor Michael hears a certain way, doesn't mean that we're all going to hear the same way. Amen? It should be the same, come to the same conclusions. Amen? And the word. But that's to help you. Seek God. He will put on your heart. You know what? He will put on your heart to be a blessing in this area to somebody or to something or whatever. Or he'll put on your heart to do this or to do that. Speak to this person. Just speak to this person. Praise God. Hallelujah. I could give example after example. Like, there's times where the Lord just, like, speak to this person in my flesh. I'm like, why would I speak? Like, I don't know this person. Why would I say? And I've done it, and it's worked out to be some kind of, like, Lord's reaching out to him. See, this is how God will work, and this is how he'll work through you. If I've said to you, you know, that God will show you things or follow the Spirit, it starts on the inside here. It's just kind of like a gut feeling, like a knowing. Like, I know I got to do this. And so then you start following that. And listen, if you miss it, don't get down on yourself, because we can all miss it. You know what I mean? I know this has gone extra long, but it was important that I get those things out. Amen? God's doing such a wonderful work here. This place, I'm going to tell you, God's been showing me the things that this ministry is going to do. And this ministry meaning my ministry, my family's ministry, the ministry of Mayville, the ministry of Corey and others, and what God is doing. He's birthing something, and it's going to grow, and it's going to, and everybody who connects to it will be blessed, and those who don't won't. And so you'll see some people in this church, that will excel, and some people who won't. Praise God. Don't be one who won't. Just get right. Amen.